Fantasy football podcast called Living the Stream comes to you each week. Streaming recommendations during NFL season, it's not just tongue-in-cheek. Quarterback, defense, tight end recommendations based on opposition matchup. Here are your podcast hosts, J.J. Zacharyson and Danny Carter, Living the Stream.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Living the Stream. I'm J.J. Zacharyson, the late-round quarterback, and as always, I am joined by my lovely, 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 lovely co-host, Denny Carter. Denny, what's going on, buddy?
Robot J.J. was stuck there. He was glitching.
Yes.
He did glitch. I'm glad that you eventually kicked out of the glitch, because we would have had to start the show over. So we need to start off the show by talking about all the crying that we did yesterday. It's not fantasy football related. It is somewhat football related. It's related to that special that SportsCenter, the ESPN, did on Carson Wentz and a sick child who was an avid Eagles fan. JJ shared it on Twitter, and I wasn't gonna watch it, but he recommended it, so I did, and wow.
Yeah, like legit, guys, like no Sean Moreno tears in my in my living room. Like, that's like legitimate. We're not like I know that we joke all the time that we're tilting and we're crying and this suck. No, like actual human tears were happening while watching that piece of Jordan. Tom Rinaldi's awesome, by the way. Like, not only that, but I shared it with a buddy today, and he was watching it, and I'm like he was watching it at work, and I'm like, dude, that's a terrible idea. But he's watching it, and he's like, whose voice is this? And I'm like, it's like Tom Rinaldi has like a voice of God. Like, it's a sincerely an unbelievable voice, and he does such a good job with those stories all the time. But this one, man, if you guys haven't checked it out, about Carson Wentz and his ties to this family where they lost a child to cancer. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most touching things that I have legitimately seen in a very long time. And any criticism that I ever had of Carson Wentz, which I wasn't like low on him coming out of his rookie year, wasn't high on him coming out of his rookie year. From a football perspective, that's one thing. But as a human being, he's probably at the top of the list right now for me as a football player doing, you know, just being a good person. I mean, it's just really good to see that transparency in these kind of videos and these articles that people do.
Yeah, I was struck. I didn't really have any feelings either way for Carson Wentz going into that video, but I understand that the story is designed to be a tearjerker. Okay, and they did a really good job with, you know, like the narrative running through with explaining the kid's situation, and he was an excellent football player, a star in the Pee Wee League. So that was all really well done. But it made it impossible for me to not succumb to the emotions that come with this. And I kept thinking to myself, how in the world would I handle this if I were a 24 Carson Wentz is 24, I believe, 24-year-old. For all intents and purposes, a kid. Like,
right.
When I think back to when I was 24, okay, I was a kid. I was just the same way I was when I was 20 or 18. And
right. It's, yeah, exactly.
And to deal like with the weight of having a kid in his final days say, I want to meet you. My last wish is to meet you and to say thank you to you as this child did. I don't know if I could deal. It's just an enormous burden almost for these young players to have.
Right. I couldn't deal. There's no way that I could deal with that. I can't even. I mean, look, we can't even deal with people getting upset with us for streaming picks, you know, and that like that's even tough to deal with. Could you imagine like someone's life and someone putting so much into you when they don't really know who you are as a person, that, you know, they're watching you as a football player, which is not, you know, that doesn't define these players and these people. And for them to, you know, and this is nothing against like the family or anything like that. Like, this is just this is why sports are awesome, is because you get this connection that's greater than what you would otherwise get. But with the Carson Wentz thing, I mean, the craziest thing to me, I mean, this kid, not to spoil it for people, because this isn't really the big spoiler within the story, but the kid was buried in Carson Wentz's jersey.
Right.
Like could you like, and you could see when he asked Carson Wentz about that, like the raw emotion of Carson Wentz not wanting to lose his shit. Yeah. While being interviewed, right? Because who wouldn't? Yeah. How could you not? How could, like, this kid loved this man so much, yeah. And Carson Wentz is like, "Why am I worthy of this?" Like, you can just read it on his face, right? Yeah, it's just crazy,
right? You could tell. I mean, first of all, he did an unbelievable job of fighting off emotions, because I would have dissolved right there when Tom Rinaldi's mentioning this thing about the jersey and you know the child being buried in it, but. I would think that someone like Carson Wentz or just any player would be like, would want to say, I'm just a person. Like, I'm just a human being. Like, yeah, I'm pretty good at football, but I don't understand this. I don't understand this, phenomenon of a person wanting to connect on this level. I'm not degrading it in any way, but it just is striking to me that these athletes can handle this, because I surely could not.
Yeah, it's insane. By the way, have you ever seen Carson Wentz's YouTube video from when he was like in high school with his buddies?
No.
And they I can't remember what they're like. I'm not going to do this story well at all, because I saw it for the first time. Someone hit me up on Twitter with the video last night. But it's Carson Wentz and his two buddies, like they're wearing like the same, t-shirts, and they all have gym shorts on. Carson Wentz has like incredibly baggy gym shorts on and like a fairly tight t-shirt, you know, he's got that look going.
Yeah.
and they roll up pieces of paper and they toss the paper and like really, you know, it's like, what's the guys who make crazy baskets and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right. Those guys, I know you're talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. People are yelling at the podcast right now as we can't think of their names. But it's like that, but they take rolled up pieces of paper and they throw it, mm-hmm. and they do it in like a really wacky way or something. And then the shot ends. And then it goes to them like making a basket like into a trash can or something like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And it's Carson Wentz as this like innocent like 10th grader,
which was like, you know, 18 months ago.
So, right. Yeah. This is only 18 months after literally the world was put on his shoulders.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. That story is nuts. Carson Wentz, good for him though. Not only being able to handle that kind of thing and like taking it on probably better than any other player that you could ask for, but also dominating the NFL right now, because he's the MVP of this season so far,
which is just, I mean, yeah, I was thinking, did we mention him in August? I think we may have touched on him once.
I wasn't high on Carson Wentz coming into the season.
Yeah, I wasn't high on him at all, but wow, that he is. I mean, shifting strictly to fantasy purposes now. Yeah, right. Come on. This is he QB2?
Yeah.
He's QB2 right now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. It's nuts, man.
And of course, from a kicker's perspective, I'm very grateful, because he's single-handedly made Jake Elliott a thing week in and week out.
It's true.
So
it's true. He still has yet to make Alshon Jeffrey a thing, though. Can I talk about this really? So I had questions. I can skip over these questions. We can just get to like basically one of them now, because someone asked me how my neighborhood league was going.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you guys this. I'm in first place. I have screenshots to prove it. I'm 5-2. and it's because I have Le'Veon Bell, Mark Ingram, Dez Bryant, Deshaun Watson, Evan Ingram. I mean, my team is stacked.
Mm-hmm.
So on that team, I had Amari Cooper, and it's a 10-team league, okay? So in a 10-team league, as we know, your bench is literally worthless. Like, your bench does not mean a thing. I don't care who my backup running backs are. I had Joe Mixon as my RB3, or RB4 even, you can consider, because I had Mark Ingram and Le'Veon Bell, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to pair Amari Cooper right now before this past week, because I have a lot of Amari Cooper throughout my fantasy leagues. And I was like, I'm going to pair Amari Cooper with Joe Mixon to try to get maybe like a slight upgrade on Amari Cooper, because like I said, I don't care about that depth. So I proposed a bunch of trades to the league mates. It's Thursday night. I had on my late round podcast, I talked about buying Amari Cooper 2 weeks ago, and then he goes nuclear on Thursday mm-hmm. night, and I'm going nuts in my living room, and I'm super excited. And I get an email, and I realize that I forgot to cancel Amari Cooper trade offers in that league.
Oh,
I traded in the middle of that game. I traded Amari Cooper for Amari Cooper and Joe Mixon for Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh, that hurts.
During that game. I mean, it's my fault. You know, in the end, there's still a chance that, like, because, like, I don't care about the Joe Mixon piece of the trade at all. It's uh-huh. It's completely irrelevant. But, like, in the end, hopefully Alshon can still outscore Amari Cooper from here on out. I don't think that that's, like, a crazy thing to... I mean, he's done better than Amari Cooper aside from this past week. Mm-hmm. So it's not like that crazy. And he's got good peripheral numbers and stuff. But that was a big fail, and that's why you don't play in 69 fantasy leagues per season.
Right, right. It is a nice decision, but it's also a bad decision. Here's something I want to just mention about a nuclear Thursday night performance. Here's something you don't do. You just don't do it. When you have the guy who goes off, okay, receiver, quarterback, whatever, do not start talking trash that night to your opponent.
Correct.
Because you're setting yourself up for a huge self own, right? I mean, yeah. you're about to own yourself by talking shit to someone because your guys just scored 40. You would not do this if this was Sunday, right? It's just because it's Thursday. It's just because it's an island game. All the focus is on these guys. Just avoid it because it will come back to haunt you more times than you would think.
Speaking of Amari Cooper, Denny, I have him on the Living the Stream Listener League team. And that team is in what I think it's first place. I think
it is. I there is another team one game behind you. I believe it's my team.
I'm pumped that I'm in first place though, because I'm strictly like I'm now using the now I'm going to even strengthen the argument uh-huh. that last season my team was so bad because of the hosting of the show while bringing on all of the competitors.
No, you needed to do well this year,
right,
in order to prove that last year was a disaster with trying to host and draft at the same time. I will say I'm a game behind you, but I'm approximately 269 points behind you as well. So you're scoring a ton of points. I won on Jordan Reed's touchdown second touchdown last night.
Oh God!
In the LTS league. Other than that, I would have been on a 4-game losing streak that started when I did not put in Randall Cobb on a Thursday night game against Tom Everett Scott, that Hollywood elite.
He is a Hollywood elite. He used some sort of Hollywood vex against you.
He did. I mean, they do all sorts of crazy stuff on the West Coast. So who knows? It's hard to say.
Right, right. All right, Denny. So week seven, I don't know. How would you grade our week seven performance? I'd say it was pretty average.
It was, you know, it had some good things and it also had some bad things.
It did.
You
know? It did. Tight end was our worst. I guess you can call it regression. But also, like, it's one of the, you know, we're getting to the point in the season where early in the season, we talk about this every year, early in the season, we recommend players that you pick up off the waiver wire, and hopefully they become decent enough every week options that you're just kind of starting. So the waiver wire is a lot tougher now because we kind of know who's going to be good and who's not.
Like ASJ, like we recommend right. ASJ. Right. He's no longer streamable. We can't talk about him
right.
legally on the show without the feds coming in and kicking right. in our doors. But hopefully you have him.
Yeah, I mean, you guys don't see this, but when Denny and I talk about what we're going to talk about on the show, I'm literally screaming at Denny what ownership percentages are. Like he wants to talk about certain players, and I'm the one who's stopping Denny from talking about these guys. So it is all my fault.
It is. I'm like, why can't we talk up Dak Prescott? We used
right,
to.
Right.
What's up?
Yeah, exactly. But at tight end, we had Austin Hooper, who was a big downgrade when Mohamed Sanu was deemed that he was going to play. That was a huge deal for him. When Sanu is healthy, Austin Hooper is not nearly as effective. So that has to do with a lot of his week 1.6. I think he just had the one catch for 6 yards. And it was at the end of the game, too. Jack Doyle had 10.4 points. Not a bad outing for him. George Kittle... that connection, the Iowa connection, was not there for George Kittle and C.J. Beathard this past week.
Yeah, how about that shower narrative? This the whole narrative about Beathard and Kittle have shared a shower, right?
I didn't hear this narrative.
Yeah, I think I don't know. Maybe one of the players or coaches said that like look, these two fellas have shared a shower. They know the connection is a little bit strange. But here's how that narrative worked out. The team completely stopped using Kittle and basically benched him for more than half the game.
Right.
So that's how when the narrative hits.
Exactly. And also the dad runner supreme, Nick O'Leary, yeah, with two catches for 58 yards. There was that one catch. Like, I hope you guys watched him play. Like, he doesn't wear gloves. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. Like the guy, it's like you remember Moises Alou? He's my favorite baseball player of all time. Yeah. Moises Alou. Like I had this weird obsession with him when I was growing up. I have his jersey. I once wore it to a game. He signed it on the sweet spot right on the one. Like I had this weird obsession with Moises Alou. But Moises Alou also did not wear batting gloves, and he used to pee on his hands before every game. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. All my fantasy baseball teams throughout my entire life, their names were always pee hands, because Moises Alou used to take a piss on his hands before he went and he would play.
Come on,
yeah,
this is am I dreaming right now? Am I hallucinating? Real. What are you talking about
He would go pee on his hands, and I'm wondering if Nick O'Leary has the same mentality and the same mechanism to catch footballs. Is that like there's something going on with like your urine and the I don't really like play in urine, so I don't know if it's sticky enough for it to be able to replace a glove, let alone a football glove. Like those football gloves now, like I sound like an old man saying this, but it is like you have stickum on your hands.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah, go to your local sporting goods store, put those gloves on, and try not to catch a football.
Yeah, right. Like go to you're gonna wear those gloves around dicks, right? And you're going to go look at t-shirts
Dick's Sporting
and stuff.
Dick's
Sporting Goods, of course. You're going to go look at t-shirts that are probably $69 because it's unbelievably expensive there. And it's Dick's. But you're going to go there and you're going to be wearing those gloves around the store and you're going to walk out forgetting to take off the gloves. And you're just going to have stuff stuck, like t-shirts stuck to those gloves. Like you're going to walk it because they're so sticky. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we're never going to get that Dick's Sporting Goods ad now. Secondly, I think that there's a pretty decent chance, now that you've talked about all this, that you pee on your hands before the podcast. I'm thinking that this is actually happening.
I'm convinced that Nick O'Leary is just coming from the school of Alou. And he is peeing on his hands before games because there's no way he can do the things that he's doing because he looks like he's a masterful tight end.
He's a masterful dad tight end. I mean, he makes Jason Witten look athletic.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I love it. So tight end not too strong this week. Quarterback Brett Hundley scored 11.88 points. He was actually awful, but he got that rushing touchdown, which was great. Tyrod Taylor, though, had a great performance. He had 20 points. Jared Goff, no longer the idea of Jared Goff, had 18.7 points. He also had a rushing touchdown. Yeah. I think that – did we have anyone else? I think that was it. That's all I have on my list.
I think that was it. Hundley was just horrendous. Rest in peace, all your teams that have Packers, by the way.
Yeah, if you have Jordy Nelson on your fantasy team, you're not happy. I mean, he basically tore his ACL. Right. It actually might be worse because at least when someone tears their ACL, you drop them. But in this case, you're like, do I play Jordy Nelson this week? Am I going to play him this week?
Yeah. I mean, you can't like Ty Montgomery is no longer a thing.
My boy Aaron Jones is, though.
Yeah, I know. Your freaking boy Aaron Jones is mixing. I mean, I'm happy for you. I'm also not happy for me.
I got to talk about the defenses, though, last week. Defense is where we were pretty strong. Miami had 6 points. I actually was looking like at the end of Sunday, I was like, man, our defensive picks weren't that good aside from the Chargers. And then I looked at the scores. I'm like, oh, wow, they were actually okay. Like Miami had 6 points. That was fine. Buffalo had 7 points. That was fine. Tennessee had 12. Didn't it feel like Tennessee had like six at most, right? Like
I would have guessed they had four.
Right, right. Tennessee had 12. And then the Chargers, though, the Chargers were the best pick that of our week of any streamer. They ended up with 27 points. They had the shutout against Denver. So good on us. Good on us.
Yep.
Way to go, us. All right, Denny, let's talk about this week's defense. There's one that you have in mind, and it's a good one.
Yeah, so Cincinnati is available in quite a few leagues, and this week they are a 10-point home favorite against the Colts, and the Colts are allowing the third most schedule-adjusted fantasy points to opposing defenses. I know that this number, it might be a little skewed because Jacksonville just collected 10 sacks against the idea of the Colts. But the Colts have now allowed 28 sacks, which is the most in the league. And Cincinnati is eighth in the league in sacks after 7 weeks. So we've talked about, you know, trying to find teams that are susceptible to sacks who are also playing teams that, you know, put pretty good pressure on the quarterback. I think that's what we have here. And that, so that's kind of the floor appeal of the Cincinnati defense. And, you know, as decent as Jacoby Brissett, Jagoby Brissett has been in a pretty terrible situation, he's only completing 59% of his passes, and he has as many interceptions as he does touchdowns. So that's the hopefully the upside is the potential for turnovers in a what shapes up to be a lopsided game. Now, the Bengals are bad. Okay, there's no denying that. But we, you know, if you look at the line at 10-point home favorite, you got to believe that maybe not even the Bengals can screw this up. I really like them as the floor play this week.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I mean, if you look at how the defenses have performed against the Colts this season, really the only defenses that didn't do anything, there's three of them. It's Cleveland, San Francisco, and Tennessee. Three awful defenses, especially teams with not very good secondaries. Every other team, there's four of them, four other teams that they played. Three of them were top three finishes that week, and the other one was a ninth-ranked defense in Arizona. So, I mean, it's Cincinnati's a great play, bottom line.
Yeah.
The other defense I want to talk about is the Saints. They're out there in a little over half of leagues. So hopefully you can snag them off the wire this week. They're 9-point favorites against a quarterback who threw 7 passes last week. How ridiculous was that game? The Bears and the Panthers.
It's just ugly. Did you feel like that game would be ugly? I felt it would be
ugly. Like I didn't want to really, like, from a DFS standpoint, didn't make sense to have exposure to it. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. But like, Chicago. And Mitch Trubisky are going to have a very difficult time only throwing the ball 7 times in this game as 9-point underdogs in New Orleans. The Saints defense has 17 sacks this season in 6 games played. That's the 12th most sacks in the entire league. I think there's only 3 other teams that have played as many games as the Saints have that have had more sacks than they have. I mean, they're getting to the quarterback. And since Mitch Trubisky has become starter, opposing defenses are averaging 3 sacks against the Bears. So I think that they're going to be able to get to Trubisky in this game. And the Saints have proven to us that they do have a ceiling. They have 2 number one ranked weeks this season as a team defense, and 1 game where they ranked 3rd in weekly defensive scoring. So I think the Saints are a really good option. I probably like Cincinnati a tad bit more, but I think New Orleans is completely fine.
Yeah, I do like the Bengals a little more. By the way, folks, we have entered the floating head JJ phase of the show. his head is officially floating in total darkness. It's a good Halloween trick that I think will last probably past Halloween at this point.
So here's the thing. In my office, I have a ceiling light, but when I turn it on, like the fixture is just not very, like, it's not good. It doesn't, like, emit a lot of light, and it's kind of like, kind of feels like an old person's house whenever I turn it on. Like there's like a dimmer on it or something. I don't know. It's very strange. So I just leave it off. It's just a lot easier. I also don't like I like working in the dark too. Not that I like talking to someone in the dark like this, but like I work in the dark all the time.
Do you have that thing? I put this program on my computer that cuts the blue light at night.
I don't have that thing. Am I gonna go blind?
No. It's not about your eyes. It's about your brain, man. The blue light wakes up your brain. It tells your brain that, you know, it's daytime. It's time to wake up and be awake and not sleep. And so
sounds
I have
really healthy.
Right. But no, what I'm saying is it cuts that. It gets rid of that.
Gotcha.
So the screen turns like orangish. I recommend it to anyone who has to open their computer once in a while or even their phone. I forget what the program's name is, but you cut that light and blue light, and it'll help you sleep better. Anyway,
Do you wear contacts, Denny?
No.
Wow.
No,
Wow. This Living the Stream podcast is contact free.
No. Yeah. Right. I have fully. I don't want to. I'm trying not to offend anyone who wears contacts or glasses. But yeah, no, I don't. I've never worn glasses or contacts.
Same. Same. We're very we're hashtag blessed. All right, Denny, get to the first quarterback, the best quarterback streaming option of the week.
Josh McCown against Atlanta. Somehow, look. Somehow, Atlanta is a 4.5-point road favorite here. What in the world is going on? Atlanta is just bogus on every level.
I think that you can make the argument, but like I think the line is you're saying that you think the line should be closer to the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons favored by 1 or 2, not 4.5.
Interesting. I could see it. I think that a lot of it is that we are going to assume probably for the rest of the year that the Falcons are better than they are, for sure. But yeah. But at the same time, the Jets are playing over their heads too. But carry on. Go ahead with Josh McCown.
They are. They could be bad. So the game sports a respectable total of 46.5 points. You can tell I wrote that line because I would never say that line in real life. Atlanta allows 16 adjusted fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. And Josh McCown has at least one touchdown pass in 5 of 7 games. And at least 3 rushing attempts in all but 1 game this season. We know that he does have, even for an old dude, he has that Konami potential week in and week out. Atlanta only has 14 sacks on the season, and they've struggled to pressure the passer, even in pretty blatantly obvious passing situations. I think McCown is a pretty safe play this week. He's been shockingly effective so far. And I feel like we have a pretty good track record with pinpointing Josh McCown good weeks on this show.
I mean, Josh McCown in plus matchups this year has been really good. The last 3 weeks he's had him. He's had 7 touchdowns over that time. I mean, he's somewhat of a predictable asset, which is good. That's what you want. And I think that there could be a negative game script. That's what Vegas thinks. So why not? Let's do this.
Sure.
And when I say, I think that the key here with the negative game script stuff, and I'm going to mention it with CJ Beathard, who I'll talk about right now, with this negative game script stuff, usually you don't want a negative game script for quarterbacks, but if a game is going to be a complete and utter blowout, from the start, and then you're playing against a secondary that's bad, that's when a negative game script isn't nearly as bad as what you would get. Let's say if it's just an average matchup. And then you start to get that negative because usually, like we've said, it takes a garbage performance to get in that garbage time to begin with. But let me talk about CJ Beathard. The Eagles secondary has allowed a QB1 top 12 performance in each of their last 5 games. And that includes surrendering one to Eli Manning back in week 3. And every quarterback that's faced the Eagles, has actually done that, except for Kirk Cousins, which came back in week 1. And Denny, funny enough, that week 1 game is the only game where cornerback Ronald Darby played.
Interesting.
So if Darby's out again, there's a chance that he plays. And if he plays, I would not be playing CJ Beathard as a streamer. I think that if Darby is out, Beathard is an interesting play. And on top of that, Philadelphia has faced by far the highest drop back to run ratio this season. So not just pass to run, but drop back, which includes sacks. They have a 2.50 drop back to run ratio. The team that's in second, which is Tampa Bay, in terms of allowing that ratio, is 0.83 lower than where Philadelphia is at. That's insane. The difference between the Eagles are just seeing an obscene amount of passes against them, and that's good from a volume perspective. I don't overly love CJ Beathard, but I do think that the matchup is certainly there. I think that he is a decent enough streaming option if you're really hurting this week because you might be hurting a little bit this week. And I should mention, we're not talking about Andy Dalton or Tyrod Taylor this week. because their ownership went up or is too high. Dalton's has just been too high. Tyrod's went up this past week because of his matchup. Both of them are in very, very good spots this week. Both of them should be played above all of the streamers, in my opinion.
Yes, right. And I saw a bunch of Alex of the streamers. It's Alex.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I have to tell the people about the program to cut the blue light is called F.Lux or Flux. Look it up.
Boom. Okay. The other quarterback, just to talk about quickly, Case Keenum. He's going to be in London. London gets to see Case Keenum throw the ball to Adam Thielen. It's going to be a beautiful thing. I know that Marcus Mariota pooped the bed against the Browns this past week, but they're still allowing the eighth most points to the position per game. They have a bottom five secondary, according to Number Fire schedule adjusted metrics. And in Case Keenum's three-plus matchups this year, you got the Bucks, Bears, and the Packers. He threw at least one touchdown pass, and he did have that high ceiling against the Bucks. I think back in week two it was, or three. I guess three, because the Bucks it was a Bucks second game. But I think, you know, Keenum's fine as well. He's probably safer than C.J. Beathard, but I do think that Beathard might have the higher ceiling between the two.
Yeah.
All right, Denny. Tight end time. I'll start tight ends, because I have multiple, and you just have the one, and I don't want to talk back to back again.
Yeah, no one wants to hear you talk anyway. Go ahead.
Okay. I think the top tight end streamer, I think both Denny and I agree, because tight end is a mess this week. And hopefully you have a tight end that you can just kind of play, like a Jason Witten or something like that. But Tyler Kroft. You know, the reason why we like Andy Dalton is because the Colts are very bad. And the Colts not only have been struggling to stop the pass this year with Malik Hooker, but now Malik Hooker is out. And so, therefore, there's an even better matchup for this Cincinnati passing game, especially for the tight ends. They've given up the 10th most points to the tight end position this year. I don't know why I said, they also, that was with Malik Hooker. Now Malik Hooker's gone. That's an even better matchup for Tyler Kroft. And Tyler Kroft, without Tyler Eifert in the lineup this year, has played well over 90% of the team's snaps. He's on the field a lot. He's averaged 5 targets per game without Tyler Eifert. I think that he should see some opportunity, and it's a great matchup for him to exploit.
Well, anytime you can get your best tight end involved, even if it takes an injury to Tyler Eifert, you got to do it. All right, so my turn with the tight ends, and I'm going to talk about Julius Thomas, who is still in the league, and he plays for the Dolphins. So the Dolphins play the Ravens on Thursday night. I would say that Julius is a marked downgrade from Kroft, a play like Kroft.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to cover our bases here. Only 3 teams are giving up more fantasy production to tight ends than the Ravens when you adjust for strength of schedule. They've allowed 6 touchdowns. The Ravens, that is, have allowed 6 touchdowns to tight ends this season. Tight ends have tallied at least 4 receptions versus the Ravens in 5 games. Now, you know, 4 receptions, that shows you how far I had to dig here to get, you know, to make Julius Thomas seem like a really decent play. But I think the biggest thing here is the upgrade at quarterback for Miami. And I'm not joking, and I don't think that many people would be joking, that Matt Moore under center is good for the pass catchers in Miami, whoever it may be. Stills, Landry, if Parker ever plays again, and Julius Thomas. So that's the thinking behind it. Oh, 26% of the yards gained against the Ravens this year have gone to tight ends. That's among the most in the league as far as, you know, percentage of yards going to tight ends. So the matchup is pretty good. Throw in Matt Moore, I think you have a good streamer.
You can also look at Nick O'Leary again, excuse me, if you have to. I don't love him all that much because he only had 2 targets last week, but the previous week or the game before that, he caught 5 of 6 for 54 yards, played 79% of the team's snaps this past week. He ran 22 routes. That's not a crazy number, but it's better than someone like OJ Howard. Hunter Henry actually ran fewer routes this past week. Probably had to do with game script a bit, but even still, Oakland's a bad defense. You can definitely exploit them with the tight end position. I also just want to say, I'm just going to throw this out there. I haven't even said this to Denny.
Wow.
But I'm interested or intrigued by how the Lions utilize Eric Ebron without Golden Tate.
The idea of Eric Ebron,
I'm throwing it out there, because if Eric Ebron scores on Sunday night, I'm going to be at a wedding, by the way, on Sunday night. I have to travel to Pittsburgh this weekend for a wedding on Sunday. But that means 15 transactions is being written in a car hungover on the way back from said wedding.
Oh, man. Good luck with that. But, oh, man. Writing in the car hungover. You're going to vomit, man.
It's going to be a rough Monday for me. But with that being said, look, Eric Ebron, there's no slot receiver. TJ Jones is going to play in the slot there for them. I'm a little bit intrigued. And I just looked too while you were talking, because I was going to mention Eric Ebron, and Rich Rebar just DM'd me because I was talking to him earlier about, we were just talking about like how bad the positions are and stuff. And he actually mentioned Eric Ebron. So like, as like a, what happens if, so look guys, if Eric Ebron goes off this week, remember that Rich and I talked about it in secret. And remember that if he doesn't go off this week, that you cannot hit me up while I'm having fun dancing at a wedding, dad dancing at a wedding, yeah. Because that's not right. That's not cool.
No, because JJ is not telling you to play Eric Ebron. He's telling you to just engage the idea of playing Eric Ebron.
Right, just enjoy the notion that Eric Ebron exists.
Explore. You know, think, sit on your couch, really think hard about Eric Ebron in a lineup. Right. And, you know, but don't put him in your lineup.
No, just think about it. Like, think about what your lineup would look like with him in there, and then don't put him in there.
Right. And so it's a two-step process, but I think it's a good one.
Yeah. So to recap, you have the idea of Eric Ebron, Nick O'Leary, also partially the idea of Nick O'Leary, Julius Thomas, Tyler Kroft, CJ Beathard, Case Keenum, Josh McCown, the Saints and the Bengals defense. And if Tyrod Taylor and Andy Dalton are out on your waiver wire, please use them above all the streamers.
Yes, please.
All right, we're on to Twitter. At rdrandom. I thought there was going to be like numbers at the end, but there wasn't. On Earth 2, how many touchdowns has Isaiah Crowell scored already this season?
I looked it up. 10.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah, also, Terrell Pryor still plays on Earth 2.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor didn't lose his job to Josh Doctson on Earth 2.
Yeah, so it's a good Earth. It's a good version.
His next one, at Justin Freeman 18, for JJ, when Amari exploded on Thursday night, how long did it take for the pants to come off, given that those pants were skinny jeans? I mean, honestly, like my wife tolerates me watching football on Thursday nights and Monday nights, and she'll probably go to bed earlier than I will. But she saw me just like legitimately joyous in my living room when Amari Cooper was doing those things. Cause I put myself out there. When you put yourself out there with a thought or a transaction or something with fantasy football the way that we do, when you put yourself out there, you really want it to work out because you don't want to hear crap in your mentions. And when there's an island game, it's the few times, it's one of the rare occurrences. That's what I really want to say. It's one of the rare occurrences where people will come at you and thank you if you got something right, because it's on an island game. People were actually thanking me for my Amari. They thanked me, Denny.
Yeah, the people are sometimes grateful.
It's unbelievable. Go ahead. What?
And it is thrilling. An island game that is successful for you after calling out a player is incredibly thrilling. That was one of my first experiences in the fantasy industry. Was I recommended the Colts defense against the Jaguars. This is like 4 years ago. And I guess some people played them, and the Colts picked one off for a touchdown and got some, you know, fumble recoveries. Yeah, and they thank you, which is just unheard of on Sunday.
Yeah. Justin also took a screenshot in a follow-up tweet, because when he tweeted the skinny jeans thing, he was retweeted by an account, Skinny Jeans. And he said in all caps, OMG, big skinny jeans is instantaneous with their omnipotence.
Yeah, right. No, you have to beware, but big skinny jean goes hand in hand with big flip flop.
Yeah, Sure.
You know, they've teamed up. You know, like all corporations, they merge against us. But let's get to the next question.
Yeah, the next one is at Waitska. That could be really pronounced a lot of different ways. Maybe like Wateska. That's probably what it actually is.
Let's go with that.
Has Denny been contacted by Making a Murderer regarding his 2017 kicker takes yet?
Not yet. But I am hoping that when Steven Hauschka, you know, inevitably gets hurt in the first quarter this week, that they will contact me and they will make a documentary about everyone in my kicker column going down to injury every week.
That's so unbelievable. This next one, at Lenny Rubin, is Tyrod a rest of season starter? His schedule seems amazing. It does seem amazing, but I think, you know, I'm just going to answer this quickly because we talked about this before. I think Tyrod might be one of those players where, you know, we talked about every week starters. Every week starters is basically Tom Brady for the most part. So Tyrod's one of those guys where you're doing the inverse of streaming, where you're keeping him on your roster, but maybe in a bad matchup you don't play him. But this week he's in a good spot. You should definitely be playing him against Oakland. Next one, at GBSJH. Hey, Den Den and JJ, Alex Smith are the streamers this week? We already answered that one, actually.
Yeah, I saw a few of those.
Yeah, Alex against Denver. Not a great matchup for him, of course. Denver doesn't allow a lot of air yards at all. Denver secondary is good, despite the fact that, from a fantasy perspective, they've been kind of average, but they're not allowing a lot of yards. But even still, I think that Alex, you just kind of have to play him at home. Next one, at the Cozy Pal. As someone visiting New York from Scotland for the first time to watch the Jets, how does one behave? Bear in mind, I'm a Vikings fan. So you're leaving Scotland when the Vikings are going to London.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Wait, what?
That's an interesting. But anyway, how should he behave?
Behave at a Jets game? I think you could, you know, almost kill someone and be okay with it. Right. I mean, there are no rules. It's just total mayhem. I'm sorry. What's his name?
Chris.
I'm sorry, Chris. My humble opinion is that there's nothing worse than being at an NFL game. But enjoy yourself.
let alone a Jets game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to go to games all the time. My parents had Steelers season tickets when I was growing up. And so I went to a lot of games and they were awesome. But it's gotten to the point now where, like, we're adults, and yeah, it's just a lot more convenient to just watch it on TV. Yes. And get multiple games.
It's more enjoyable. You know, you don't have to be surrounded by drunk animals. Right. the entire game. I hate all sporting events. And let's just get
and I've also gotten to the point where, like, I can't stand. So I didn't talk about this. Speaking of Carson Wentz, okay, I had a tweet from April, okay, where I wish I had the tweet in front of me that the guy responded with. But anyway, I wasn't even saying I started out with, I don't know if Carson Wentz is good, because I didn't know if he was good or not. After year one, I had no idea. I didn't say that he was bad. I just didn't know. Right. And I said, but the one thing we shouldn't do is use these volume statistics to show whether or not Carson, like, completion percent, sorry, like one of the things that I said was completion percentage, because his ADOT was so low last year. And when you have a lower ADOT, you're going to have a higher completion percentage. Or his yardage totals and stuff like that. Like, we can't just look at those things and say this guy's good. Some Eagles fan hit me up today from a tweet in April. And he goes, like, something along the lines of, well, we know that you can't evaluate quarterbacks. Hashtag Wentz explosion or something like that. Like, some weird hashtag. And it's like, guys, why is this? Like, why does fandom do this to people? It's the most, and it's gotten to the point for me where, like, that's actually the reason why I don't want to go to games anymore. It's because that fandom is so irrational. It's so crazy.
Well, it's tribalism. It's just pure tribalism. Like, when I went to a Ravens Dolphins game in 1996, and some guy was trying to rip the Merino jersey off of me so that they could burn it along with other Merino jerseys that they were passing down.
Unbelievable.
It was like being trapped in a you know, on a desert island with a bunch of maniacs.
Right.
So being at this Ravens game, I mean, Ravens fans are what they are, but it's a horrible atmosphere. But you know what, Chris, you enjoy yourself. Maybe soccer games are this way in Europe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing is with fandom too is that I think it's a great thing overall. Like, I don't think that the idea of fandom is a bad thing. Just like I don't think that the idea of Eric Ebron this week is a bad thing. Like I don't think that fandom is this horrible thing where everyone. I think that it can bring people together. I think that it's, you know, I have a ton of fandom. Like I love this. I love Pittsburgh sports. I live for playoff hockey. You know this, but like at the same time, like you have to have some self control. That's really the big thing here, right? And self awareness too. That's the that's the important piece.
Yes.
Next one, at D Novak. Does Arizona losing Carson make David Johnson any more or less droppable? To me, it just makes them worse, and it makes them. Why would they rush back David Johnson?
Right. Yeah. I mean, now all of your Cardinals are unusable. So right. Congratulations.
Right.
Congratulations on that. This is what happens every year. Carson Palmer does well until he plays the Rams. The Rams tear his ACL or break his arm or break his jaw or something. And then everything goes to crap. And then you can't use Fitzgerald. You can't use John Brown. You can't use Ellington or Peterson. Everything is terrible now. You can't use any of your
Cardinals. I thought I had a stolen trade this past weekend when I got John Brown and Adam Thielen for Doug Baldwin. Because John Brown was on the up and up. I mean, Adam Thielen straight up to Doug Baldwin, I think, is an argument. But like, even still, regardless... John Brown's now worthless. Like you don't need John Brown because that there are only like 10 offenses that actually matter in fantasy football now.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I'm so tilted. I can't even talk about it.
This next one at Jake Taco.
yeah. Okay.
He says, how does late round QB live knowing his neighbor was right about who the Saints wide receiver one was and how is he doing in that league? So I already mentioned how I'm doing in the league. And whatever. Here's the thing too, man. Like I was into Ted Ginn coming into the season. I love Ted Ginn. So you can't throw that back at me. He's not even their number. He's not their number one.
No, he's not. As far as target share goes, he's not, right?
No, he's not their number one. He's just, okay. He's just had a good few weeks. Michael Thomas is still the dude. Next one at Somewhat Feral. Can you name one way that the NFL is superior to the NBA? If so, I will increase my Patreon support by an additional $1.69.
The thing that comes to mind is that regular season games matter in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. That's the bottom line. I also have a lot of I don't know if you know this, Denny, but I have a lot of takes about competition in different sports leagues and the salary cap and how people think that the salary cap has everything to do with competition within these leagues, but really the variance within the game is where the competition comes from. So if we look at the NBA, throw away the salary cap or how money's managed in the NBA, the reason the NBA has very little parity is because one or two players can make an enormous impact on a team, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas you don't get that in other sports. You know, you don't get that in especially baseball. You know, you're just not going to get that. And the reason why baseball, even without a salary cap, is able to do what it does in the playoffs, is because is because baseball naturally has the most game-to-game variance than any other sport. Because you have things like batting average, balls in play, and how the balls. I mean, there's just a lot of luck involved in each game. And when you're only taking that into a 7-game series, naturally you're going to have a ton of variance, so the best team doesn't always come through, right? That's why pitching becomes so important in the playoffs, because you can control pitching more. So when it comes to the NFL, the parity that exists in the NFL to me is actually not as salary cap driven as other people think. To me, it's game driven. It's the fact that there's only one game every single week. It's a single elimination in the playoffs, and literally anything can happen because of that. I think that there's just so much stress and focus put on the salary cap side of things when there's a lot of other reasons why these leagues do or don't have parity.
Right. I mean, in Major League Baseball especially, if you lose a game or two games or three games in a row, what can you do? I mean, except for win the next three, and who cares? Like these regular season games don't matter at all.
Right.
So.
Like the best teams will come out in a baseball, will make the playoffs in baseball because there's such a massive sample and schedule, right? But when you hit the playoffs itself, there's an insane amount of variance. Like you can see teams like the Royals a couple of years, like they go on these runs where it doesn't make any sense, but like it's because there's variance. Like it works that way.
Yeah. I will say that the offense in the NBA is very appealing, like just the insane offensive production. I want that in the NFL. Like, I want the roles stacked against defenses. I want defenses not to be able to function as a defense. That would make the game more enjoyable to me. Like, I get no enjoyment from a fantasy or from aesthetic purposes from a 9-3 game. Yeah. Like, that doesn't do it for me. So give me every game. Give me 30-27.
Yeah. I won't lie. I've gotten more into the NBA over the last couple of years only because they do such a good job, like, marketing the game and making it like Adam Silver is a great commissioner. He just gets it right. And he allows players to be themselves. And in turn, it makes the game just more engaging, even if the games are not important, which that's the main reason, the main thing that we talked about to get that additional $1.69. But like the regular season games really aren't that vital, because in the end, we kind of know who's going to be marching to the championship at the beginning of the season, more so than any other sport, or more confidently than any other sport. But it's still very entertaining. Like, there's an entertainment factor to it because the players are awesome.
Yeah.
Next one, @Chris_Quick. Which of the following would Denny prefer on his tombstone? He had kicker takes. He OD'd in an Arby's bathroom. His wife left him.
Those are the only options.
Could you imagine a tombstone that just says his wife left? Here lies Denny Carter, whatever year to whatever year. Yeah. His wife left him.
His wife left him. I don't think that I could live with the legacy of ODing in an Arby's bathroom. So I'll go with the wife part. At least the people will know that I was married at one point.
Yeah, exactly. This next one is @MikeJGallant. What are you both dressing up as for Halloween, or do you not fall for big Halloween's advertising? Well, Halloween's Denny's holiday.
My thing.
Yeah, that's your thing.
Yeah, look, I work for Big Halloween. How dare you? Yeah. How dare you? We're very good. Big Halloween is good, and we're coming for you. So watch out. I am going to be, my wife, estranged wife, she made a costume for me, and that is the ghost from Pac-Man. Mm-hmm. And so she dresses up as Miss Pac-Man, and I am the ghost from the red ghost from Pac-Man, and our daughter. 17-month-old daughter is the strawberry from Pac-Man.
Perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm not dressing up because I'm going to be at that wedding on this weekend, and it's just not like I'm not going to have opportunities to do stuff.
No.
I'm not going to dress up during the week when we hand out candy to kids.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not going to dress. I'm not
going
to. Wait,
do you get many trick-or-treaters?
Yeah, we have a ton. We have like 300 houses in our neighborhood.
Oh, dude, I just realized that next Tuesday is Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to legitimately just like not want to breathe anymore.
Wait, why?
Because I'm going to be traveling to Pittsburgh, and then I'm going to be having a Sunday wedding. Then I got to work on my column and do a podcast. And then I'm not going to sleep.
I don't want to dress up
as anything.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, just put a witch's hat on. Okay? or
a witch's hat on.
Or wear a sexy skeleton outfit.
If you mailed me the sexy skeleton outfit, I would wear it. But you forgot.
I have it. I'm just
saying. It would really fit my frame well.
It's extremely tight. I'll just say that.
The next one, @VikeFan1180, on a scale of 1 to WWE, how rigged is football?
Well, according to my dad, it's pretty rigged. My dad had a really hot take. Did I tell you about the Chargers take?
Which one was that?
Where I said, hey, Dad, you ever hear about the thing about Philip Rivers shaving points throughout his career? And he was like, yeah, that's old news. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, the Chargers have been shaving points since the 70s.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay.
It just stuck with them.
All right. And you know what happened? Here's what happened. My dad used to spend an inordinate amount of time in the pool hall. He would kill me if he knew I was telling this to you guys, but he used to play a lot of pool for potentially a lot of money. And I believe there was some gambling going on in the pool hall. And it sounds to me like he got the raw end of a Chargers bet at one point and never forgot it. And it's lived on for 40 years.
Interesting. Next one, at Phil_Culbertson. Any movies that you sincerely regret watching? Mine is Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, really? I kind of like Requiem.
So here's my, like, I thought about this question. Like, I read it. Man, I'm really dark right now. I'm sorry, Denny. I'm like more of a floating head than usual.
You know, you're not a floating head. You're just black. It's just black.
Yeah, it's not good. I got to turn on lights next week. But anyway, I thought about this question. I'm like, you know what? I don't watch movies. I maybe it's just like part of my person. I don't know. I don't know if it's just like part of my personality or what, but I don't walk away from movies and say like, man, I am so disappointed in this.
Oh, disappoint. Well, I think Phil was saying that Requiem disturbed him to fair. A point where he regretted
okay,
watching.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, that's a good point.
And I sincerely regret watching that movie Hostel that came out like 10 years ago. It was a horror movie. I mean, it's just the most horrific stuff I could like. I'm sure there's worse, and I'm sure our buddy Tom Whalen knows of much, much worse as far as horror goes, but that movie messed me up for a
you
while.
Know what, you know what one movie was back in the day that I watched when I was like in middle school was that movie Stigmata.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
I saw when I was in high school, they re-released Exorcist in movie theaters, and I went to go see that with my friend. And we were genuinely disturbed for like 2 or 3 days
yeah,
after that.
Yeah, Requiem's not bad though. I didn't think it's that bad.
Well, it's just I guess it's just so devastating.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
like so sad. Yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
Next one at @DavidFlynn3. Have Demaryius Thomas and Check Anderson, but he meant CJ Anderson. I just thought it was hilarious that it went to Check Anderson on one team. Is it time to try to trade one of them for their names? I'm still like I had Demaryius Thomas as a buy in my 15 transactions column this week. And the main reason is hasn't scored any touchdowns, but everything else is there. He's like 16th in yards this year, even though he's had a game with 9 and 11 yards. I think Demaryius is still a buy. But Denny, what would you do with CJ Anderson if you owned him right now?
I would want to go back in time and not draft CJ yeah. Anderson.
I mean, like, I don't think you can really confidently play him in fantasy. Like if you I mean, you might not have any other options, but. Like, it's just not a good situation right now.
He's never going to be usable unless the Broncos have really good game script throughout.
Right, right. That's exactly right. The next one, at Ben, oh my God, he did it again, Schwabowski.
Schwabowski.
What's the most underrated candy/candy bar? Mine's Reese's, man.
Oh, I got it.
What?
Yeah. Wait, no, underrated, dude, underrated.
But you think that's properly rated? Because I think it's so good that it is underrated.
JJ, it is the most rated.
No, okay, but what I'm telling you is, if something's rated at 99 and I think it's 100, then it's underrated.
All right, that's fair. 100 grand. 100 grand is good as hell.
Man, what's in a 100
Have you had
grand?
This?
Yeah, I can't remember what's in it. Is it nuts?
I don't know. Good stuff.
You know what's you know what's actually underrated is Three Musketeers.
Oh, get out of here with three. Come on.
I'm serious. I think Three Musketeers are good.
100 grand will rip out your fillings one by one, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Just get 100
but
grand.
But I'm not a big caramel person either.
Oh, really? Well, you're a hater and a loser, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Three Musketeers is just like I could like take like 14 of them at once and just stuff them in my face and just enjoy it.
Well, that's because there's nothing to them.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's why it's amazing. It's just like nom, yeah. Nom, nom all day long.
Nom, nom, nom all day long. That's the should be our new slogan for the show for some reason.
Next one at Bear Maulings. By the way, Bear Maulings, his wife has a Twitter account that I found that they tweeted at us after the show once, and it's like at Mrs. Bear Maulings or something like that.
It's very... Oh my God, these people are obsessed with bears mauling
yeah.
people.
Yeah. He asked if you walked into the women's room by mistake and took a dump and realized your mistake upon leaving the stall, which room would you wash up in? I mean, I live in North Carolina, so I'd be arrested.
Right. Yeah. Right. The legislature would have you tried. I don't think that's the way the law works, but anyway, you got to get out. No, you have to get out. No, you may not wash your hands. And the women, you have to go. You don't touch anything. Don't be disgusting.
Okay. What if you realize mid dump, Mid-dumperoo. Oh. Are you starting the wipe? Are you just letting it breathe and just letting it go and then just awkwardly walking and moving and shifting your body into the men's room across the hall?
I think you have to shut it down immediately and evacuate the premises as soon as possible.
So you have to walk with poop on your butt.
No, I mean, shut it down properly. Okay, now
so you don't, okay, but like you're gonna have a freak out moment when this happens. Like, you're gonna be sitting there and you're like, oh, this is great, and then you hear like high heels walk into the bathroom or something. You're like, oh my god, I'm in the wrong bathroom right now. And when you realize that, I mean, my first reaction is probably I need to like lift my legs so people don't know that I'm in here,
yeah,
kind of thing. And then once I do that, I'd probably fall into the toilet, and from there nothing matters anymore, so I'm just gonna finish the job and just wash my hands in that bathroom.
You know what might be the best thing? If you just stay in there for any amount of time that it requires to be alone, and then you leave. So if you have to wait 20 minutes, you wait 20 minutes.
Yeah, you have to, because you can't have that moment where you walk out and people are staring at you, and like you need no one to find out that this is happening, because that's an embarrassment. We can at least agree there. Next one, @J_M_Coop. Can Denny please explain to the public why Scream is the second most important horror movie to the genre? Also, do you guys like cheesecake? Cheesecake's fine, but let's talk about Scream.
Cheesecake's good. Scream weirdly is like brought back Halloween. You know, Halloween made their triumphant, you know, slash somewhat disappointing return in the late 90s. With H2O, after Scream basically made fun of the slasher genre while also being a slasher, like classic, like Wes Craven playing with the viewers. So yeah, Scream is very important. Scream is important in kind of the way that Cabin in the Woods is important, in like poking fun at a genre that sometimes takes itself way too seriously. So I appreciate that question. Thank you. Yeah,
I like Scream. Scream's a good movie.
It is. It's a very right. It's a watchable movie.
Yeah, it's good. I love, and I also love the you don't know who it is, and kind of like the allure of just not knowing, like you already know that there's a twist ending no matter what's going to happen, because you don't know exactly who that killer is going to be. So I like that as well.
And I have to recommend, I haven't talked about this in a long time on the show, but our buddy Tom Everett Scott was in the Scream TV series, which had two seasons. I believe it's available like on demand for your local cable provider, perhaps. But anyway, I've watched both seasons. I like them a lot. Like, again, they're very watchable, very entertaining. And like, there are some parts that are like, they're like so shocking that you... that I would like scream, like, and I don't even mean that as like a joke on the title of the show, but you should watch the Scream show. Also, on the new Twin Peaks, JJ, there is a small part of a couple episodes that features one of the killers on the original Scream, and he's old AF.
Really?
It freaks me out, man. It freaks me out to see
But that movie was made in what, like 97?
Yes. I know it's been 20 years, but it freaks me out to no end that one of the kid killers in Scream is on Twin Peaks. And it just, I just was like, well, all the characters on the new Twin Peaks are startling, because I just watched the old stuff. So I'm seeing actors from 1992, and then boom, right back to 2017.
It's like when I see people from the Mighty Ducks in movies and stuff. It's like, oh my god, like that's Luis Mendoza.
Yeah. Oh, he's old now. So am I. Okay.
Yeah. Next one, @TateWetzel_. My son loves blueberries. What do I do?
Well, I mean, there's always adoption.
Do you not like blueberries, Denny?
What do you mean, do I not like? I don't like blue. I fight big blueberry at every opportunity. Do you like them?
Yeah, I like blueberries.
Wait, no, but I mean, like them. Like, would you like pick up some blueberries and eat them?
Yeah.
And not throw up.
Why don't you like blueberries?
They're the worst berry. They're the worst berry. Come on.
The worst berry. The blue ones are not, there are no bad berries.
I am anti blueberry. I I mean, blueberry pie, blueberry whatever. I mean, all pie is bad, but blueberries are garbage. I'm sorry to hear about your son. But you don't have to own him. I don't think that you have to black bag him. I think that you can just find a new home.
Wow.
It's good.
Wow. I think blueberries are great, and I think your son is awesome. Next one. Last one. At Bethany L. Peters, she says, what do you do when you're walking your dog and she poops twice, but you only have one bag?
I think the best way to solve this is just never have a dog.
No, okay. You can have dogs because dogs are elite, especially small dogs. But, like here's the thing. I pee on my hands, so it's okay. No, for real though, I've had some mushroom issues in my backyard this summer, just mushrooms coming up whenever. By the way, have you ever like watched mushrooms grow, like just wild mushrooms and stuff, like whenever?
When you said I've had a mushroom issue, I thought you were talking about
like the drug,
doing mushrooms, and I was like, what where is this show going?
No, they grow so fast, it's crazy.
Do you mean that you can see them grow in real time?
Not in like real time, but like I'll like take my dog out in the morning, go work the entire day, and then go back outside, and they're noticeably larger.
Yes, they do. So you have a mushroom problem?
Well, I had like there was like a week where just they come with the, I guess like rain. It seems like they grew like it was just like part of in like an area of my yard. It's been treated and stuff, but regardless. Okay. I had to pick them up one day, and they were, you know, they were rooted into the ground, so you had to pull them out. And I had to think, like, what's the best way to do this that's, like, quick and easy? And what I did was I took a garbage bag, and I would pull it out with the bag, so I didn't touch it. You know, I didn't want to, like, touch the mushrooms. It's weird, even though I pee on my hands. But I was trying to pull – I would pull them out by the edge of the garbage bag, and then kind of let them slide down the bag's side and then do that over and over again. So I think you could do that with dog poop. Where like
I think you could.
Like you can have multiple dumps in in one bag, right?
Right.
It would also be awkward if you could you imagine just like maybe you threw out the bag or something, you had no bag. Could you imagine just walking down the street just like holding the dump like displaying it. Like it had like it was like how else would you hold it? Because you don't want your fingers to go on top of it.
Well, there's also the option of not picking it up.
Yeah, but Denny, then you're a terrible neighbor.
I mean, can't you go back later or something?
You could do that. That's the most. But what if you're like 2 miles away?
I still think the easiest option here is just to never have a dog, which is always the best option in my opinion.
Fair enough. All right, Denny, that does it for the questions. Why don't you let everyone? Oh, do you want to do kicker takes real quick?
Kickers, yes. So it's tough. It's tough out there on the waiver wire. But here we go. Okay, Steven Hauschka still widely available. Has a great matchup against Oakland. Oakland giving up the most field goal attempts so far. Will Lutz, again, good matchup. Saints have a great total. Chicago's a good kicker matchup. And a guy who's available on every waiver wire in America. I don't want to hear anybody saying, not in my league, because this is not true. Randy Bullock, the kicker for the Bengals, I'm told, against the Colts is a good play, good/decent play. So Randy Bullock, Will Lutz, Steven Hauschka.
All right, Denny, where can everyone find you?
At CDCarter13. And you can also find me, well, not my face, but me, my handle, at our Patreon page, which is on the Living the Stream account.
I'm JJ Zacharyson. You can find me on Twitter at LateRoundQB. All my work over on NumberFire.com and my other podcast, the Late Round Podcast, can be found anywhere podcasts can be found. Denny. We have a tilt montage. I'm going to throw that in there. But otherwise, guys, good luck in week 8, and we'll talk to you in week 9.
It's 1:16 p.m. on the East Coast. I'm watching the 1 o'clock games, which the West Coasters will see on replay in 6 to 8 hours when they start their rise and grind, rise and surf and grind, I guess, whatever they do out there. Anyway, Chris Ivory, I told myself, was a trap. He's a trap, I said to myself. Don't do it. And so then Chris Ivory walks into the end zone after having a really nice opening drive against the idea of the Indianapolis Colts defense. So you could say I'm tilting because Jarvis Landry then just scores a touchdown and I'm playing against him everywhere. And yep, I'm sweating. My armpits are technically drenched at the moment. I'm a disgusting animal. And I'm tilting. It's 1:26 on the East Coast, and it appears that Brett Hundley had a good run with the Packers. But his run is over, and I think that he's ceded the starting quarterback position after, five quarters at the helm of the Packers franchise. And I think, there's a lot to remember from Brett Hundley's career, like the first, second, or the third interception from his first game, and then all five incompletions to start his second game. So we'll have the memories, at least.
Do you hear that ticking? That ticking is driving me mad. My estranged wife got a clock to put underneath our TV specifically to test my sanity and to sink me into an existential crisis with no end as time ticks by while I waste life watching this stupid game. Tick, tick, tick. I'm tilting. Brett Hundley rushing touchdown. You may delete me, simulation, for I have achieved some level of happiness. Thank you and goodbye. Also, for the haters and losers out there who complain or comment that I don't actually scream on the tilt montage, a couple things. One, my daughter, my 17-month-old daughter, is usually sleeping during football. She naps twice a day, like a big lazy baby. And secondly, I have neighbors, and I live in a townhouse, and I can't have the police come to my house anymore on football Sundays. That's what the judge told me last time. So there will be no screaming. If you want screaming on a tilt montage, you can find another show. You are a loser and or a hater. It's 2:16 p.m. in the Eastern time zone, and I had to disengage for a bit after that Stephen Hauschka shank to the right. I don't know what to say about the field goal kickers at this point, folks, beyond that. We're playing kickers who are kicking quite a lot of field goals. They happen not to go in. So I guess that's the short story of it. The short, sad, disgusting, vomit-soaked story. I hate everything. Stephen Hauschka has given me a stress headache. It's killing me. I hope you monsters are happy. Quick shout out to the deceased Jerick McKinnon truthers. It's a tragedy when any group of truthers dies in such a horrible way at the hands of Latavius Murray. But McKinnon owners, they burn bright and fast, like a supernova, I believe, or perhaps a cigarette. Yeah. It's 5:02 in the p.m. Eastern time zone, and I have received word officially that Dan Bailey has passed on from fantasy relevance today.
He is the latest kicker whose career has been sidetracked, hopefully not ended, by his name being mentioned in my weekly kicker write-up on lineups.com. So I want to extend a heartfelt apology to Dan Bailey and to the Bailey family. If Dan Bailey is married, if he has children, if he supports, you know, his siblings or parents, perhaps, with the millions that he makes, you know, being a good NFL kicker, I didn't mean anything by putting you in the column. It was actually me praising your matchup, and I think that your ability to take advantage of that matchup was there. Whatever happens to your life from here on out, I take sole responsibility. I know you're a big fan of Living the Stream, Dan Bailey, and so I hope you don't stop listening. I'm getting choked up. I'm getting choked up here. That's why my voice broke like that. Not because I'm in puberty, but Dan, you know, I know you're listening. Keep listening. We're going to start a GoFundMe for kickers whose careers end because they're recommended in my kicker column. We're currently supporting the Folk family of Nick Folk, who is they're in desperate times, and I'm we're supporting them with GoFundMe. Jason Myers from the former Jacksonville kicker is also getting money from our GoFundMe, but mostly I want you to know that I'm sorry, and I'm tilting like crazy. I'm tilting so much that I need some perspective. I need perspective. I need to take myself out of football for a moment, and I need to talk to the log lady from Twin Peaks. And so, log lady, hit me.
These days, the glow is dying.
Yes, it is.
What will be in the darkness that remains?
I don't know, not Dan Bailey.
The Truman brothers are both true men.
I don't know what that has to do with anything.
They are your brothers.
Okay, sure. I'll go with that, sure.
And the others.
Mm-hmm.
The good ones.
Right, the good ones, the good
who
kickers.
Who have been with you.
Stephen Hauschka, I got it.
Now the circle is almost complete.
Right, just Graham Gano needs to get in there.
Watch and listen to the dream of time and space. It all comes out now, flowing like a river.
Okay, sure, but if I'm being perfectly honest, this is not helping my tilt at all. Time and space and whatnot, it's not really helping. So, I mean, it's a good try, log lady, but I'm tilting it.
Thank you for listening to Live in the Stream. We hope you enjoyed the internet podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes now. It won't take long, it's fast. For more fantasy football info, check out makegroundqb.com. Hope you come back soon as we share about the teams and